Thanks for joining us. We at First Presbyterian practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where we remind each other of our essential goodness, because it's so easy to forget that in this world. Where all are welcome and diversity is celebrated. Where doubts and questions are a gift that lead us into deeper conversations. Where vulnerability is a strength and your tears are holy. Where we encourage each other to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. It is our hope that here you will find space to breathe, a faith to believe in, and a God who believes in you. Welcome.
Lead me on, I will follow. in our pain, our blue, our beautiful, our hard, our messy, our ugly, our struggles, and our joys. God is with us. God accompanying us. God alongside us. God amid us. God among us. God beside us. God by us. God including us. God near us. God plus us. God as companion to us. God side by side us. God in the thick of us. In the thick of our humanity. In the middle of this weary world. God is with us. In the gift and in the muck and mire of real life, we are called to be present. To be in the flesh with one another, accompanying others, alongside others, amid others, beside others, by others, for others, including others, near others, a companion to others, side by side with others. In the thick of others, God with us, us with others, God with the world in the thick of the beautiful and the messy. In that, a weary world rejoices.
Friends, let us be bold to pray this world-changing prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And he was asked, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? And Jesus answered, whatever you do for the most vulnerable of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. You know, every Sunday at First Presbyterian, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught, that he taught the disciples, called the Lord's Prayer. And I like to introduce this prayer by saying, let's be bold to pray. Because when we pray this simple prayer, we are literally asking God to use us to change the world. And one sentence of the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, notice it doesn't say, you know, give me my bread. It says, give us our bread. You know, bread for myself is a material question. Making sure there's enough bread for our neighbors is a spiritual one. Give us our bread is really a challenging prayer in our culture of overconsumption, where more people will die from too much bread than too little. I have a clergy colleague who took his church on a work trip to Haiti. the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. And his mission team worshiped in a rural Haitian Presbyterian church. Now, the church was packed with about 200 men, women, and children sitting on a dirt floor. Most of the children had red-tipped hair, the sign of malnutrition. And they came to the part in the service like we do, when they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And when this small Haitian church prayed the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," they lifted their arms to heaven like they were begging, pleading with God to give them bread so that the children would have what they needed just simply to live, to survive that day. The service concluded with communion. My clergy colleague noticed there were several large loaves of bread on the communion table. And when people came forward for communion, this Haitian pastor just tore off large chunks of bread for the children because he realized that that would probably be the only bread many of those children would eat that week. Now imagine if you or your children are food insecure or even starving. Praying, "Give us our bread," would have a whole different meaning. What if we change the words to "give everyone the bread they need today"? We're praying not just for ourselves, but on behalf of everyone who is hungry. We're praying for those hungry children in Haiti. We're praying for those who line up to receive a meal at Family Kitchen. We're praying for those who contact the church every day, hoping for food vouchers to feed their children. We're praying for everyone on a street corner holding a sign that says, "I'm hungry. Anything helps." We're praying for the 1 in 9 people in the world, 1 in 9 who are food insecure. We're praying for the 1 in 5 children born into poverty in the United States, the richest country in the world, 1 in 5 children who will go to bed hungry tonight. Did you know that 45% of all child deaths in the world are from malnutrition? Give everyone this day their daily bread. Give everyone the food they need to live today. I believe that's how Jesus intends for us to pray this prayer, so that we might become convicted and be part of the answer to our prayer. In his book, God's Politics, Jim Wallis talks about how he came to see his faith through a different lens. He was attending Trinity Divinity School, a conservative evangelical seminary in Illinois. And while he was there, he did an internship in the inner city in Chicago. And he became really interested in what the Bible had to say about the poverty he encountered in the inner city. And he discovered that one of the defining characteristics of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, is the attention it pays to the poor, the weak, the vulnerable. I mean, at the very heart of the Law of Moses is Deuteronomy 15, where it says, "Do not be hard-hearted toward your needy neighbor. Rather, open your hand." The book of Leviticus orders that a corner of every field is to be left unharvested so that the poor will have something to eat. The prophet Amos encouraged those who trampled the poor, ignored the needy, to repent. The prophet Micah said, "God doesn't care about our worship assemblies. But what does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love mercy,
to walk humbly with our God. Jesus was asked, out of the 623 laws that make up the law of Moses, which one is most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to love God is to love your neighbor. To love your neighbor is to love God. So Wallace began to wonder, how is it possible to love your neighbor if their needs are less important than your own needs? How can we love our neighbor if our plate is full and theirs is empty? Wallace concluded that maybe we're not as concerned with the empty plates of our neighbors as God desires because we're too full of our own privilege. Now, Wallace was shocked because this was not what he was taught in church growing up. I mean, he was taught that salvation was a personal matter, you know, related to what happens after you die, and that it was somehow separate from the daily needs of human beings. And Wallace discovered there is no personal relationship with Jesus that doesn't transform our worldview about privilege and the needs of others. There's no personal relationship with Jesus that doesn't open our eyes to see and to meet Jesus in others, especially those who are most vulnerable. You know, we're not called to feed the hungry and care for the most vulnerable to feel good about ourselves, but so that we might grow into the likeness and image of Christ. We don't feed the hungry to earn our way into heaven, but so that heaven might actually find a way into us. So after all of this, Wallace rededicated his life to Christ, which meant dedicating his life to meeting Christ in those who were poor, hungry, and in need. Viktor Frankl survived the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And he observed that those who survived the worst kind of evil imaginable, that those who survived all shared something in common. And it didn't have anything to do with age, gender, physical strength. Frankl observed that those who didn't survive took the little ration of bread that they were given, and they closed their fists and kept it for themselves. And he observed that those who survived, those who managed to survive, took the little ration of bread they were given, opened their hands and shared it with the elderly, the sick, and children. It turns out the kind of love where you risk opening your hands, sharing what you have, is more powerful than the worst kind of evil. You know, we sometimes forget that our need to share, to give, to care, to love is every bit as great as the needs of the hungry and poor. You know, for those of us who may not be physically hungry, praying, give us our bread, is asking God to fulfill our deep need and hunger for meaning and purpose. Our deep need to live and love in a way that reflects our very best selves, that allows us to practice the best of what we believe, and that allows us to become more and more shaped into the image and likeness of Christ. A man asked God to show him, both what heaven and hell look like. God took him to a place where people gathered around a banquet table with the most delicious smelling stew in front of them. And the people around this banquet table didn't look at each other. They didn't speak to each other. They looked miserable. They were starving because the spoons they were given were longer than their arms, and they couldn't get the stew to their mouths. And God said, "This is hell." The man asked to see heaven. And to his surprise, he was taken to a place that looked exactly the same. Same banquet table, same people gathered around the table, same delicious feast, same long spoons. This time, though, the people were laughing. They were listening to each other's stories. They appeared full and happy. "This is heaven," God said. "Well, what's the difference?" asked the man. "In this place," God said, "the people have learned to feed each other." Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat." In feeding the hungry and caring for the most vulnerable, we just might discover we are the ones whose souls are fed and whose hearts are full. May it be so.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make love's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
children and their children and their children. May God's favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May God's presence go before you and behind you and beside you.
Give us this day our daily bread. May those who are hungry be fed. And in feeding the hungry and caring for the most vulnerable, may our souls be fed and our hearts be full. May the grace of God be the ground upon which you walk. May the love of Jesus inspire you to love as boldly, generously, inclusively as Jesus did. And may the presence of the Holy Spirit stir your hearts, guide your steps, and lead you to your neighbors in need of your love. Go in the peace of Christ, and may your love bring peace to others. May it be so.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you found a space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. Visit us at bendfp.org. There you can get more information on who we are and what we're about. You can learn about how we're trying to make a difference in this world and how you can partner with us and support us financially. Or you can make a prayer request. Until next time, God bless.